Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Really appreciate you listening to ABQ Connect today. I think we have an interesting show. Dale Coffing and Karen Warren with Navigators Ministry are here in studio. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Welcome. I don't know why I haven't had you on before now. You can whack me if you want to. but it's so fun because I've met Dale before, not real frequently, but he was on staff here at Calvary Church for a time. And Dale, let's just dive right into it because I want to know exactly what is going on with Navigators. You have a discipleship ministry that's second to none.
Well, thank you so much. Just to say what the Navigators are, to kind of give you an idea, because when people hear that, they kind of wonder, you know, what is that ministry? Because we really are kind of like a hidden ministry. And I love the term the Navigators because it kind of gives you that idea. It's like that compass. It's that you need a navigator in life to help guide you in going along. And so that concept of the Navigators is all about discipleship. It's that life-to-life mentoring that allows you to help navigate life's ups and downs through the and how the Bible would have us live our life. And so we're a worldwide ministry. And here in Albuquerque, we've got a team of navigators, and we have several missions that we're involved in. And the one that most people know us by is the Faith at Work, a lunch ministry that COVID devastated a year ago.
Well, and what a fun thing that I had been to a few of those, but I didn't know the history of it. And Karen Warren, who's side by side with you, she was the one that kind of started that. And it was a women's gathering.
It was. It was an idea that kind of came to a group of us, sort of the brainchild of how do we connect with women in the workplace and help them and encourage them to live out their faith intentionally at work. And meeting together with a small group of women for about a year, we came up with this idea of hosting a luncheon, and we called it Faith at Work. And we started meeting at a hotel and started inviting other business women just through relational connections to come and hear testimonies from women who were living out their faith in the workplace and how what the challenges of that were and what the struggles were that they faced and the way that God led them and the way that they were able to use their faith to make a difference with the people that they worked with. And, of course, as usually happens, the men say, hey, you know, that looks pretty good. We'd like to try something like that.
Yeah. We didn't say pretty good. We said that was great. She's got something going there. And, man, we want to jump in. And so the Faith at Work lunch kind of started up that was more in a and I'll call it the men's side just because there was that was kind of like that logical break, you know, years ago when we did that. But, no, Karen kind of set that road for us and really showed the desire and the need. And what we realized was that Faith at Work really is, I love that name, the idea that God did never intended us to have our faith kind of on the shelf, which is what our culture teaches us. You know, we go to work and, oh, Sunday's coming, let's take our faith off the shelf and with our Bible and kind of live it that way, as opposed to the way God always intended it, which is how do we make our life more about our faith and how do we fit life in around it? And so Faith at Work really is a something that was close to my heart and made a lot of sense as I came out of the business world.
And it also gave us an opportunity to let women in the workplace have an avenue to invite their friends to come hear how the Bible might apply to their lives. How might the Bible be something that's relevant to them in their workplace? And now women have an opportunity through these luncheons, and men, because now we have the co-ed lunch, and they can invite their friends and family members and people even in other cities and other states now with COVID, and we're all on Zoom, to come and hear some biblical principles that might have some relevance for their lives.
And Karen, I might get the sense that I think the only discrepancy with the men kind of stealing this idea is not the fact that they stole the idea, but that they took credit for it after they stole the idea.
Actually, they've been extremely gracious about pointing the arrow to us. But we ended up merging, and we have and then when COVID hit, you know, and of course no more in-person lunches. But it gave us an opportunity to get online and to use Zoom as a mechanism, which now means we can reach people beyond Albuquerque.
And are the plans, I know we have to be fluid because of COVID, but the plans are to get back in person, hopefully.
Yeah, at some point, I don't know what that will look like. I'm thinking, I've talked with Rob about it, and it will probably be something of a hybrid, where we'll do an in-person, Faith at Work lunch again, but we'll maintain that Zoom connection for Zoom meetings, because we've had so many that are from outside the state now, that join in. And it's typically those workers that have left the Albuquerque area, but now have a chance to reconnect us through the Faith at Work connection.
Yeah.
You have a host that actually listens to what you say. So sometimes I go off script, so I have to apologize. But I'm thinking in my mind that there's women in business of all levels, management through regular employees, et cetera, that are meeting. The men start doing this. They think it's a great idea. And now there's a lot of parity in these meetings because you have female executives, male executives. You have men and women of all different levels. And it sounds like a really fun place for people to be ministered to that's different than the church.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We found that a lot of people that wouldn't be comfortable walking in a church door are very comfortable coming to a business format of a meeting, and they understand the idea of a speaker and connecting with some other people. And of course, Zoom means they can do it from their living room. But we've had a lot more people that might not have otherwise engaged with us, and it gives us an opportunity to build relationships. We talk all the time about how the gospel is advanced through relational networks. You know, we're called to live and disciple among the lost. And what better way to build intentional relationships, to connect with people who wouldn't otherwise come to church, than to be out in the community speaking to people right where they live, work, worship, and play, and investing in them in something that's meaningful to them, that matters, the workplace.
Yeah, I was thinking about we're known about Faith at Work, but really, that luncheon, it's not what we're about, even though that's what they know us about.
Sure.
What it truly is, our motto, and I love what we say as the Navigators, it's been around for a while. It's to know Christ and to make Christ known and to help others do the same. This idea of discipleship that multiplies, that's this multi-generational model that goes on. So the Faith at Work lunch really is a mechanism. It's at its core, it's the idea to help encourage believers to realize, how do I use this as a mechanism to build intentional relationships with those that would never come to church, but I can have a spiritual conversation around faith-based initiatives that are work-oriented. So it's a great avenue to where we help encourage the believers to invite their co-workers, their family, their friends, their clients to come and hear this message that's threaded with biblical principles and truth that actually applies to work, so that the discussion continues the rest of the month. So we really help rejuvenate and kind of feed that fuel for the believer.
So you have our listeners ready to join this Zoom meeting. How do they do that?
Well, that's a great question. It's really simple. We have a website. It's www.navigatorsabq.org. And when you go to that link, on that one page, it's a landing page. You'll see to the left, it's an email reminder and a way to sign up for our monthly events. And that's the easiest way. And then we'll send you the Zoom link when you register.
No cost.
No cost for the Zoom link. You just, other than your time and your willingness to hear what God wants to transform your heart for.
And we keep it under an hour because we know people, they're working, they're on a tight schedule. So when we do it twice, twice on that monthly Wednesday that we do it, so 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. and 40 minutes. And so they get to come here, connect, say hi to people, maybe even ask a question or two, hear a great message, and then be back into their workplace.
When you say life-to-life discipleship, is that you investing your life into someone else's life?
Boy, yeah, it's life-to-life discipleship really is based out of the Great Commission, when Jesus called out that we're all to therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And that idea is, we follow the model that Jesus set, where he actually poured his life into those 12 apostles, just pouring them for those 3 years. He ministered to many, but he poured into those 12 very critically, very intentionally. And then Paul really said it the best in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, when he said, the things that you've heard from me, when he was writing this to Timothy in that last letter, but things that you've heard from me and seen. It's kind of like this idea of, I've modeled this for you. And he challenged him. He says, man, I want you to be able to pass this on to faithful men who will be qualified to teach others. So it's this life to life to life. It's this generational, ongoing, reproducing, exponentially growing discipling model that was talked about. And so that's the life to life. It's one to one or one to small, you know, kind of idea.
And we emphasize, too, the importance of that, like I said earlier, relational connections. Really, your best opportunity to invest in somebody else comes through the people that you know, that you've grown close to, that are in your family, that are in your neighborhood, that you already have that relationship with. And so we're encouraging people not only to grow in their own faith through discipleship, but then to learn how to do it with others and to go back into their, just like Jesus sent the Samaritan woman back to her town and her family, go back to your families, go into your neighborhoods, and invest in the people around you.
I know there's people listening to the show right now that take their lunch break because they want to hear encouraging things from people like the Navigators. I guarantee you there's some women that are working maybe for a government agency, and they are in management, and they're not allowed to talk about Jesus in the workplace. But this is a ministry tool for them. They can take their lunch break, participate in your Zoom meeting, mention it to some other people. Hey, I know about this. I'm going to join it. They don't have to even say, why don't you join it, or coerce them. This really sounds like a neat ministry tool.
Yeah, I think it makes it really easy for people to invite people. And, of course, then we see it as an opportunity now to continue the conversation. And so a coworker invites her friend or tells her friend about the online meeting, and then they can have a conversation about it later. And it's easy. It's natural to just talk about what you heard, and it gives people a way to connect with people that they might not otherwise be able to talk to.
And you probably don't have a measurable for this. There's probably not a stat. But I would imagine that once people start doing things the way God wants them done, it makes them more productive at work.
Boy, I would say that's a great point. I'd love to get some of the guys to kind of give you the stories of how that's changed them. And for me personally, the ones that I like to listen to, and I can give you some stories of the guys that I meet with regularly, and it's the idea of that intentional reminder every month of what am I doing this month when I get that little reminder email? What am I doing to help, you know, build God's kingdom? God's put me in this workplace for a reason. And have I intentionally built relationships to invite them to a lunch, or in this case, a Zoom meeting? And so that if one day they may never become a believer, but if I'm doing that intentionally for God's glory, can God use that? And it challenges me to be more like Christ in the workplace so that example, I'll say the journey continues.
Yeah. You may both be familiar with John Moore. So John Moore Associates. So John has just recently sold his company to Brian Cochran. And Brian's a regular guest on our program. And, of course, he shares everything about how they do business and having integrity and being a good steward of money and all of those wonderful things. And our audience really embraces that because it does encourage them. It does show them how doing what God says is good for everybody. And here's why I brought them up. They have a lot of investors that are not people of the same faith. I mean, they may have Muslim investors. They may have agnostic or atheistic investors. But all of those people know that they follow biblical principles in investing their money. And the reason they trust that is because they know it's true.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We say that all the time, don't we? And Rob mentions that a lot of times in the Faith at Work messages. He'll say, you know, biblical principles work.
Yeah.
Whether you believe them or not, you apply them, you use them. Anybody can use biblical principles and be blessed and be benefited by how those work in the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Dale Coffing and Karen Warren are with us today. They are both with the Navigators Ministry, part of the staff here in Albuquerque. We're going to be back and talking about the difference between men and women and how you memorize scripture and all kinds of good stuff when we get back. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
locally grown, locally owned. Bosca Heating and Cooling, a portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosca and we'll be there.
At Krecka Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Krecka Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. TheKreckaLawFirm.com. The C-R-E-C-C-A LawFirm.com.
Maybe you've heard about MediShare and you know what it is. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, but you've wondered, can I really save a significant amount of money on my monthly health care bills? And the answer is an emphatic yes, you can. You can save a lot of money. Whether it's just for you or for an entire family, MediShare has an option for you. In fact, the typical family saves $500 a month switching to MediShare. And it really is the gold standard when it comes to healthcare sharing. You get free telehealth services. You get a huge network of doctors. You get great customer support. And you get the sense of security that comes from being a part of 400,000 people who share not just each other's medical bills, but purpose too. MediShare is a community of Christians who pull together and pray for each other, which is very refreshing right now. If you want more info, it's so simple. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Indigo Mortgage for sponsoring the programming here at KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. I really appreciate Ben Lucero, the owner of Indigo Mortgage, definition of the word integrity. Ben says, integrity are the decisions we make and the actions we take when nobody is watching but the Lord. Call 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Karen Warren and Dale Coffing are both on the Navigator staff here in Albuquerque. We've been talking a lot about the Faith at Work ministry, and there's a Zoom meeting that everybody is invited to. It's free. You go to navigatorsabq.org. I know you have the – you can get to that, though, from the national website. It's one of the easier websites to use, actually.
Yeah, it's a big one, that's for sure. But anything to do with the Faith at Work, the easiest way to get that information is using the navigatorsabq.org, and you'll get in there and find out. And that event's tomorrow, so we're going to have tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock and then again at noon. So if you're interested in being a part of that, you can go to the navigatorsabq.org website and just register there, and we'll send you the Zoom link to attend.
And you get to attend that during lunchtime, again, a way to say to people, yeah, I'm going to be on a, instead of spending the whole time eating a sandwich, I'm going to be on a Zoom link and talk a little bit about the Lord today.
That's right. And yep. And get to see Dale and I do a little bit of banter before Rob yeah. shares the really good stuff. And yeah, you come on a few minutes early, you get to interact with people and see who else is on the call. So,
Karen, how do you work differently with men and women in Navigators?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, because I think we want to be really have integrity, and really, especially in ministry, we really want to have women discipling women and men discipling men, and giving women a voice, giving women an opportunity to ask the questions and share the things that they struggle with, which can be very different from what men face, even in the workplace. Just women are more relational. Women have to carry the burden of not just the hat they wear at work, but also the hat they wear as a parent and as a spouse and as the working woman. And they're juggling a lot of things. And so giving women an opportunity to meet with other women and connect. And Dale was mentioning, you know, how great it is to get these people to come and get together at these Zoom online events. But we use that to go even further and give people opportunities to connect then with women in women's groups, and maybe men meeting one-on-one, and go a little deeper. And so we see those really as a resource opportunity to draw people in even further, connect them even more deeply with this God who loves them and who has a plan for their lives and who wants to bless them and wants to bring out the best in them. And so we're looking for ways to connect women with women, men with men, couples groups, marriage seminars, and we just try to find and meet all the needs that people might face in their different roles.
You mentioned all those different roles. One of the things I think that's valuable about sports and education is because you can be teaching somebody how to shoot a jump shot, but they got to be ready to run back on defense, and they have to be aware of what's happening on the other side of the floor and who's cutting to the basket when they have the ball. I mean, there's all these things happening simultaneously. Well, you can talk to a woman about her job as a CEO, but she's also a mom. That didn't stop because she had to go to work at 8 o'clock, and then she's dealing with her husband and some crisis that he has, so she's trying to be a wife. I mean, there's a lot happening simultaneously. So being in the Word and discipling people. Dale, I'm going to shift to you because Karen's already taken too much advantage. I'm just teasing. First thing she said when she looked at the little thing here is, well, how come Dale has more minutes than I? I'm teasing you.
That's right.
Dale, I guess what I want to know is, what's a typical day look like for you? Are you meeting with men on a regular basis and going through the Word? Tell me what that looks like.
You bet. Well, remember, it's life-to-life mentoring or discipleship. I love... So it is. It's during COVID, it's been a lot of Zoom. I've become a Zoom expert, is what it turns out. But the benefit of that, and at first I thought, man, this is going to be a pain. But what a benefit! I'd already was doing one Zoom meeting where my discipling group had to do with people here in Albuquerque, as well as Arizona. There was another, the same group, we're all together. There was one in Phoenix, coming out of Chandler, and as well as Phoenix, and then El Paso, and was all connected and. So I was already being prepared, as it turns out, when COVID hit, to transition all my one-on-one groups, which were being typically one-on-one or one-on-small. And I say small, ideally, I would say it'd be a group of about four to meet with. But it all transitioned into this into this Zoom phase, and its main purpose, it's to break the cultural kind of model of that spiritual maturity is all about spiritual knowledge. And I just need to break that. It's not about spiritual knowledge. Spiritual maturity is about biblical obedience. It's about living that lifestyle of what the Bible talks about, as opposed to knowing. And in these meetings, that's kind of like my goal. It's to get people not to dig deeper in the Bible in the sense of getting to know more. People already know a lot. In fact, they know too much. And the difference is, they're not doing what they need to do, what they know. And we call that sin, is what the Bible identifies it as. And so as a navigator, as a disciple maker, my goal is to lessen that gap of just doing what they already know. And how do I do that? How do I live that out in the family, in the workplace, at home, at church, where I worship? It's all those things. And so it's a lot of one-on-one meetings or small group meetings or Zoom meetings to help people navigate those issues of life that always come up.
Part of living that out is saying, I've fallen short. I have sinned.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you hear that from men?
In fact, when you were asking that question to Karen about the men and the women, I would say I've done lots of couple groups as well, both, but my discipling groups tend to be the men ones. And the reason I've found that, it's because men and women happen to be different, and especially the couples when they're married. When you're asking the hardcore questions about how to be transformed, in other words, you're saying, be vulnerable. This is where I'm messing up. I've just read God's word, or I understand God's word to have me act this way, and I'm not acting that way. For them to be transparent, a man, to admit that he's wrong there and he needs to change and transform according to God's word, and do that in front of a spouse, that becomes, in both ways, by the way, both for the men and the women, that's a little bit harder. They're a lot less. Bottom line is we're prideful. We're just prideful. And so by keeping it men on men, it's a little bit easier, I think, to kind of break down that wall. Because the men, they all know they're prideful. And they look at each other going, we don't have to put up that front anymore. And so we try to get a little bit more real in making those changes.
Yeah.
Are women different, Karen, in this area?
I wouldn't say different. I think we just look for creativity and variety in ways to reach people. And when you asked Dale that question about what does a day in ministry look like, I was thinking about how with the navigators, There's so much. It's faith at work is one small piece. We have lots of different ways of connecting with people and doing ministry to meet specific needs and to address the things that challenge people. And so one of the things I do is a ministry that helps people grow closer in their walk with God by spending time with Him and really experiencing God with all their senses, and it's called Come to the Banquet. And this is a has evolved into a weekly workshop on Zoom, but I've got a group of women from all over the U.S. that join this call to learn creative ways to spend time with God, using their senses, experiencing Him in fresh ways, just so they can grow deeper in their walk with Him. And we also are constantly striving to help equip people to be, to have these life-to-life relationships, to invest in other people, to be disciple makers, to be leaders in their community. And with women, that's such an affirmation, giving them roles of leadership, letting them have ministry that is theirs, that they can use their gifts and creativity to carry through. And so we've got women's groups all over the city teaching each other how to make disciples, how to invest in people in a way that will last for a lifetime, in a way that will reproduce generationally, spiritually. And we call that disciple-making training and support. And it's even, it's going into different churches. Women are leading these classes and teaching around the city right now, giving them an opportunity to lead.
So as they participate in your Zoom meetings and they participate in this additional meeting that you have, that's a weekly meeting?
Gosh, we've got weekly, we've got monthly.
And they'll find out about all of this if they're involved, as they express their heart, and you may even discern they have some gifts to lead and to disciple people. You'll ask them to step up to the plate.
Absolutely. In fact, my friend Jenny is a retired teacher. She taught at Hope. Taught math at Hope for years. Probably a lot of the young people in this city know her, Jenny Civarolo. Has really taken this and run with it and has become a leader in developing disciples who will make disciples, and is organizing groups, is training up women, sending them out to disciple others. We're seeing a lot of people like that, just using their gifts and abilities, their talents and their calling to invest in other people. So it's not just us as navigators doing this. We're equipping other people to do it.
I'm going to ask you both a question now, and we're going to carry this into the next segment. We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment, and then we'll come back and talk about it more. But I want to ask if we could make a correlation between a physical workout and a spiritual workout. What do you think of that?
No, I love that analogy. It's very similar to what Paul even talks about in his letters. The idea that that there's a godliness game that God wants us to do that's above the physical side. But I love the picture of the physical side, because we get that. We get the idea of how we can make that together. I was just using this example this morning with the group of men I was at. We were at a restaurant and had our Bibles open and listening, and we were talking about how we impact each other and how what that should look like in terms of disciple making, how we need to multiply that out. And so the example I used was, there's this guy sitting at a table, and he was pretty buff. I mean, you could tell this guy's a working out guy. And if you knew me, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm a pretty much a twiggy kind of guy. And I said, just imagine, I'm walking over to this guy, and I go, dude, you need to work out. And you need to get, you know, and he'd look at me, and what would he say? He'd go, you're crazy, Dale. You know, he's looking at me as, how can I help him? And that's because physically, you can tell that I don't work out like he does. I don't have that commitment. And so spiritually, that connection is the same. When I need to do spiritual training, if I'm going to be a disciple maker, I need to be able to be, how do I look spiritually strong and mature? Do I have the disciplines? Or in other words, does my life actually look like what the Bible describes? Am I loving? Am I forgiving? Do I have the kinds of attributes or the character, which we would call the fruits of the Spirit, that the Bible talks about that are growing in my life? Now, that kind of mark of spiritual maturity, that's what I kind of look at when you were asking this question about the physical and the spiritual. It's I may look physically not very imposing, but hopefully, spiritually side, I look more like that guy did physically on sitting at the table.
Yeah.
That's great.
We've just gone through one of the most unusual, I'll just use that word, as least qualitative as I can, to talk about the political season that we just passed through. And now we are enduring. And having said that, I want you to know about me. Playing basketball for most of my life and at the university, I spent a lot of time yelling at basketball officials. And I always pose this question on the radio. How many times do you think an official changed a call in 35 years? That would be zero.
Yeah.
So not only did I offend people by yelling at them and doing all the wrong things, but then I think about how many calls I got changed. And I then can only use one word to describe my behavior. Stupid would be the only accurate way to describe it. So I sit back now and I say to myself, okay, you may disagree with the governor of New Mexico. You may disagree with the Republican Party chairman, Steve Pierce. You know, whoever says anything, you're going to have a disagreement with. But rather than yelling at the official about something that happened before, we have some responsibilities biblically. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to pray for these people. Mm-hmm. We really need to be praying for these people. We need to be suggesting alternatives in a relentless way. I don't mean to inundate people in a bad way, but give them great ideas. Constantly love them. Love them into the kingdom. And that's the behavior that I don't see Christians having.
And well said.
It's the great commandment, isn't it? It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we need to be better living out of the example of loving your neighbor.
I see a post by, I believe it was the Republican Party of New Mexico, and I subscribe to everybody's newsletter, so I get the Dem stuff too. Michelle Lujan Grisham is standing, and it looks like she has a little pendant on, and it says that she's getting an award, from the biggest abortion provider in the world, Planned Parenthood, for having passed or ramrodded through this latest legislation. And everybody I know can develop all kinds of hatred toward that and think, and all it did is break my heart. I'm thinking to myself, God, only you can change her perspective on this. We can yell at her. We can scream at her all we want. To me, that's not going to help. And again, I'm bringing in some politics. Yep. I don't mean to, but I'm thinking about us actually trusting God with all of this and allowing him to change the hearts.
Yeah. And you know, it's the same issue that we talk about this in the Navigators, using social media as a platform to rant and rage and express your opinion. That's not the way to win people, to show Jesus to people. And we really need to major on relational, authentic relationships that where we're just loving people the way Jesus would love them and letting God impart truth.
Amen. Dale Coffing and Karen Warren with the Navigators Ministry, they are both on staff here in Albuquerque. We're going to find out a little bit more about maybe some other staff members. I know there's others around, plans for the rest of 2021 as COVID will allow, and lots more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
When Christ's earthly ministry was over, he gathered his disciples together and he commissioned them. And by extension, every generation was commissioned with the same thing. We're to be serious about propagating the gospel. The central verb in that passage, it's straightforward. It's noticeably uncomplicated. It's just simply to make disciples. Now, the three words that surround it remind us of the phases of that. We're to be baptizing them, which means we've got to reach them with the gospel. We've got to then teach them to observe everything that Christ commanded. And then we've got to get out there and do what the disciples did. They went out to make these disciples. So Christ gave us a clear directive, a promise to be with us until the work is done. So let's get out there today and start working to get that job done.
Get more hard-hitting, straight-up Bible teaching when you listen to Focal Point's half-hour program. Consider Pastor Mike Fabares as your personal Bible coach. He'll take you through the paces right here on this station. and listen anytime at focalpointradio.org.
After a long season of fear and anxiety fueled by an endless stream of bad news, you're invited to experience still waters. Rest in the Lord's goodness and mercy as He restores our souls and calms our anxious hearts at the Sheology Spring Gathering. Restore, Calm My Anxious Heart. Saturday, May 1st, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the amphitheater at Calvary Church on Osuna in Albuquerque. Experience a full day of worship with special musical guest New Beginnings Choir. And an encouraging message from Lenya Heitzig.
You don't need another teaching. You don't need another book. You don't need another tape. You don't need another combo. What you need is to see God.
Plus, a pop-up market, food trucks, photo booth, coffee and tea, tasty treats, and refreshing fellowship. Sheology's Spring Gathering. Restore. Calm my anxious heart. Tickets available now. Details at Sheology.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or you can reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. All kinds of great information that Karen and Dale are sharing with us today. They are with the Navigators Ministry staff here in Albuquerque. You can go to navigatorsabq.org and sign up for notifications for their monthly Zoom meeting. That's the Faith at Work Zoom meetings. And then there's all kinds of other things going on. Karen, you've kind of tell us some of the other meetings that you're having with women.
Yes. And again, that navigatorsabq.org takes you to a Faith at Work site, but you can connect with us, and then we can tell you about all the other stuff. So yeah, we have disciple making training and development for if you're interested in helping make disciples, or if you want to be discipled. We have women and men that would love to invest and walk alongside you and encourage you. We have gatherings, Zoom calls. We have occasional topical. We had a Zoom call a few months back, just open to any women interested, that just on the topic of struggling with depression and anxiety, because this is a tough season for people. This past year has been so hard, and a lot of women struggle with depression and anxiety.
Well, Karen, I'll say, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but the church hasn't handled depression and anxiety very well. They haven't actually even recognized sometimes that that's a medical thing going on in addition to spiritual.
Mm-hmm. And we have people that have lived it, walked through it, have come out the other side, have really drawn closer to God through it, and we have biblical counselors that just are really good at addressing these issues. And so we just find the people that are walking in it, walking alongside people in it, and we invite them to come and share and speak and talk to women, and it's amazing. People will bring people, because this is something that scratches an itch, that meets a need right where people are, you know, and COVID has brought out all kinds of challenges and struggles, financial issues, marriage issues, relationship issues, health issues, that people need help. They need practical help. And we can bring spiritual truth and spiritual encouragement alongside just encouraging them in getting the practical help they need in other areas too. So we look for ways, whatever it takes, to help people see that the body of Christ can support each other, and we can point people to Jesus. We can help them grow in their faith, and ultimately just, you know, spiritual health connects with physical health in so many ways.
And let's go back to that analogy too, Dale, because the Bible is clear that physical exercise is not as important as spiritual exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean it's not important. But we can see a picture of what a bicep workout looks like. I see young mothers with babies doing a bicep workout every day. They're holding that child. And I mean, I have five children of my own, about to have some grandchildren, and I can remember, their mother could hold those babies for hours. I'd hold them for 15 minutes and I'm like, I got to switch arms. So, I guess I say this because working out every day is kind of what we all hope to do, or a regular schedule of three times a week or whatever it is. And maybe we do the same thing spiritually. Maybe it just starts with a monthly Zoom meeting with navigators. You've never been to church. You start to have some communication with other people, let's say men, and you're communicating with these men and you're fellowshipping with these men and you're vulnerable with these men, which is kind of surprising that you said that's happening as readily as it is. What happens when you take off from working out spiritually?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like the physical. When you quit working out physically, it's you start to atrophy, and the same thing occurs in the spiritual realm. In fact, I'm always reminded about the Great Commission when Jesus commanded us to therefore go and make disciples. It wasn't therefore go make converts, not just believers, but a disciple. So there's a difference. And that difference is it's the guy that's kind of sitting back and not doing his spiritual workout, if you will, for that analogy. It's going to be just that believer that isn't what God had called us to be, which is a disciple maker. A disciple maker is that guy that just shows he's truly what Jesus describes in the Gospels, that idea of being a light in a dark world, that he truly looks different than the world around him, that it really is not about the world that that so many people look at today, but it's about, and this is something that God kind of convicted me on this year as my verse, if you will, of the year. But it's not so much about being more like the world, but you take out the L. It's more like the word. It's I've got to make that move to being a word-based and financially. So for me, that's a disciple. It's the idea, the importance is how am I being accountable to looking more like Christ from the word as opposed to the world? And they're so close together, you know, world and word, they look the same. It's that little letter, the L, it's the difference. And we got to remove that L.
And I would just add to that, Dale, when you talk about a spiritual workout, you know, there are certain key characteristics that we look for in a follower of Christ. And so that's what we major on when we're discipling someone and we're encouraging them in the spiritual disciplines. We look and encourage people to focus on things like spending time in the Word daily, what Dale just said, learning how to pray for others, how to do intercessory prayer, learning how to make the word an important part of your life in terms of memorizing scripture, learning how to be a part of the body of Christ and use your gifts and serve in the body, and then also learning how to share your faith and how to be a witness, an effective witness. So it's that outreach, inreach, upreach, and then letting God reach down into us. And we just emphasize those as core values that are a part of what it means to be a disciple and strengthen those spiritual muscles.
How do you memorize scripture? Is there a technique that you teach?
Well, just understanding the importance, I think, is what helps first, is going, why should I even memorize scripture? And I was just going over this with one of my group of guys, and we just go to the Bible, go back to the Word, and in Matthew 4, the example that Jesus gave us after 40 days in the desert of being fasting and praying, and he was physically weak, and that's when the enemy came to tempt him, when he was at his weakest. And it was those three temptations, as you see the way that Jesus successfully combated them all. And every one of them, he combated it with scripture. And if you can just imagine 2,000 years ago, you know, Jesus isn't carrying around all the scrolls in a backpack with him as he's combating these. No, he's quoting scripture as he fights it. And he taught us, he goes, look, when you're at your weakest, when the enemy comes and he'll come, be ready to attack it successfully using scripture. And he did scripture memory. But the part that really kind of pushed me over the top personally, that pushed me into scripture memory, was recognizing that in the middle of these three temptations, the way that the enemy tempted Jesus was using scripture. The enemy himself uses scripture memory against it for a temptation. And I remember thinking in my young walk then going, wow, if the enemy will use scripture to tempt me, I had better get my act together to understand the scripture and get a firm grip on it. And so that was my start of using scripture. And today, in those days, it was cards, memory cards we would use. But today, there's some really great apps out that are available for scripture memory. The one I happen to use is called Bible Memory, but there's also one out that's called Verses that's really good. So there's really great resources in helping people get a good handle on scripture. I'm always reminded of what David wrote in Psalms 119. When he was questioning and when he wrote that, he goes, man, how does a young man keep his way pure? I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. So he's really talking about this area of the importance of scripture memory, not just by living according to your word, but by hiding it in his heart so that it'd be prepared.
Yeah, and Dale's a techie guy, so he likes all those apps. But, you know, we've spent lots of time investing in people where sometimes it's just relational. Hey, get a friend to challenge you, and you're going to work together on it. You're going to memorize. You're going to read the passages together and quote the scriptures and do it back and forth and call each other and encourage each other. You know, we just emphasize, hey, if it's we invest our time in the things that are important to us. And if what God said to us is important, we'll find a way to make it a permanent mark in our hearts.
Well, you have both set up our final segment. In that, I want to let our listeners know when we come back from this break, you've talked about preparing yourself in the Word, but you've also alluded to some contrary messages. We all know the media is bombarding us with all kinds of stuff every day. And so being prepared and understanding where those messages are coming from and what they're saying to you and whether they're truth or lies, all is measured by what you know about the scriptures. So we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Dale Coffing and Karen Warren. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Hope you stay with us.
What turns married couples from allies into adversaries? Dr. Tony Evans says it often starts with men and women who don't understand the roles God wants them to play. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When men are not taking their rightful place, and sometimes it's hard for a woman to follow a parked car or a parked bus. At the same time, the rise of the feminist movement has hurt it because it said to women, you don't need a man, you can do without a man, you're better than a man, you know, in its various formats. So it's created this over-independent. If you're single, you need to be independent to a certain level. But it's created independence gone amok. When a woman does get married, there's often conflict because she is resisting the man fulfilling his role. He needs you. You're a helpmate, and that does not mean just cooking and cleaning. A helpmate means one collaborating with him. Because what most men don't know is God says if you skip her, God will not work with you. Because most men don't recognize that they don't value the input of their wives at the level that they ought to and need to in order to get even more of God operating on their midst. But at the same time, women have got to do it in such a way that recognizes his position. And when she does that, she is submitting. Jesus submitted to the Father while being equal to the Father. Because submission has to do with function, not equality or essence of being.
Learn more about the strength, commitment, and sacrifice it takes to be the kind of man a woman would want to submit to. It's all spelled out in Dr. Evans' bestseller, Kingdom Man. Copies are available at tonyevans.org, along with study guides, leaders' guides, and everything you need to promote God's view of manhood in your home or church. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Don't forget that tonight you can be a student for the evening. That's in the Plex, April 13th. History and Authenticity of the Bible with Dr. Brian Nixon. That's tonight. It's a free class. You do have to register. You have to go to calvarynm.church/events to register, but the class is free, giving a chance to see what the classes are like with Calvary College. And then you'll have another opportunity on Thursday, April 15th, for Spiritual Foundations with Dr. Nelson Walker. Again, registration is required. Go to calvarynm.church/events to register. And I'm in studio with Dale Coffing and Karen Warren with Navigators. I told you this would go fast. It does, because you think sometimes, oh, we're going to be on the radio for an hour. What in the world are we going to talk about? Well, we've gotten like, you know, a third or halfway through our questions. But Karen, I'm going to go to a quote from A.W. Tozer. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." What do you think comes to mind for most people when they think about God?
Well, I'm sure that's going to be different for a lot of people, but I think everyone really wants to know how to have a closer relationship with him. Is this a God I can relate to, that I can have connection with, that I can walk with and talk with? Is this really a personal God? And what does his word have for me, relevance in my life? What does his word mean for me on a day-to-day basis? How do I apply it? What do I do with it? Which is why we believe so strongly in the value of discipleship, of helping people learn how to hear God's voice for themselves. You know, there's just, we talked about this a little bit, you know, how much there is out there in the world that is not from God. And people want to know, well, you know, what does God have to say about this? What does God have to say about how I should live my life? And the only way you're going to get those answers is you've got to know this God personally. You've got to spend time in his word. You've got to understand what it means to read his word and apply it to your life. And the Holy Spirit helps us with that, right? It starts with having to have a personal relationship with him. It starts with having to invite Jesus into our lives to be Lord and Savior in our lives. And then the Holy Spirit begins to convict us of truth and begins to convict us of what his word says that's relevant for us.
I love that you've already alluded to, again, contrary messages. I just recently read a book by Robert Wogelmuth called Lies Men Believe.
Mm.
And I'm fascinated with the book because these are some examples. These are some examples. And he's kind of talking about men. I'm not sure there's going to be a women's book, but it's very similar to what men and women both believe. Here's some examples. God isn't involved or concerned with the details of my life. I can earn God's favor. Pleasure and entertainment can satisfy me. I don't need God. And things like, then this appeals to the sensitivities and the vulnerability that Dale said, talked about men earlier. Real men do not cry. These are actual things that people believe. Dale, where are these contrary messages coming from?
Yeah, you know, that kind of walks right into what I talked about earlier. That all comes from the world. It's a world-based view on the way we're supposed to act. And the reality is God wants us to be conforming to his word. I'm really appreciative of what Paul writes in Romans 12 when he says, you know, don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. God wants a transformed life, not based on what we see this world like. And these are all worldly types of things. So I was thinking of what Karen was answering about what's this idea, what comes to mind, and what's the most important thing to think about with God. And I was thinking, even for believers and certainly for non-believers as well, but it's I just think of the great commandment. You know, he says, you want to know what it is? God says this, is to love me, love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul and all of your strength, is the way Mark says it in chapter 12. And I just think that if we could kind of put that as the basis, that it's all about God, we need to approach and have this intimate, growing relationship with a holy God, that if we start with that, then the rest will start to work out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would also tell you, Jim, that there is already a book out there called Lies Women Believe.
Oh, there is.
There is.
I haven't read that, but I want to grab it. Is it by the same author?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. I'm not positive, but I know that we've pulled resources out of books like that just to help people recognize the things that they've begun to believe that aren't from God.
Well, here's one that I wanted to read, and it has to do with you know, faith at work that you do.
Yeah.
Here's one of the lies that he writes. He says, with everything going on in my life, it's really not possible to live with integrity.
Mm.
You know, maybe you're just worn out with all the stuff coming at you at the world. But I'm telling you that if you don't have integrity, especially in the workplace, your life's going to be more complicated, because everything that you think is hidden in the dark is going to be revealed in the light.
Yeah.
And I've not lived as long as some, but I'm 63 years old, and I can't tell you one example where lies have not come out.
Mm.
And it just complicates everything. It complicates marriages. It complicates child-parent relationships. Mm-hmm. I know so many loan officers. I was in the banking business for many years that would say something like, oh, I can't answer that question. Your file's at the underwriter. Well, what that really means is I haven't got my act together and I haven't got all everything submitted, because that all comes back within a matter of minutes, because it's all underwritten electronically through direct underwriter or a loan prospector. And, you know, the public doesn't know that. It's 99% done with the computer. Hmm. So I know that living without integrity is a lie that, you know, there's just a million messages. Yeah. How about how you look? Dale mentioned, you know, oh, I don't look like I'm muscled up. This other guy did. But there's some men that feel less about themselves because they don't look a certain way. And I know that's true with women, Karen.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking about Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And when we begin to dig into God's word and what God says about beauty, when God says about value and worth, that we are precious in his sight, when we start to read the truth and we hear how God sees us, it just starts throwing those lies out for what they are. And people, it's easy to hear the world and to hear what the world says about our value and our worth, but it takes a little bit of effort and time and energy to really be open to listening to what God has to say. And that means you've got to spend time. You've got to get to know this God if you're going to know his word and know what he has to say for us. But his truth sets us free from the lies that the world would tell us. And sometimes people just need to be redirected and reminded that what they're listening to, what they're believing about themselves doesn't come from God.
What is a parent's role in discipling their children, Dale? Mm,
well, I have four kids, so I can tell you I've done I wish I could tell you I did a great job in discipling my kids. But the reality is, you know, I really didn't. When I look at it, when I view it in perspective of what God's word says. But if I were to give you one statement that would help every parent, and what I've learned to change later, would be to say that probably the best way is to live that godly example. You know, you don't even have to teach them the word. If you just live it, I think of what 1 Peter 3 says when he was challenging the wife of an ungodly husband. He said, look, even without, just by your actions, you don't even have to speak to God, just by your actions that they'll know what's true. And I think of that for parenting. It's like you have to live out your faith as a parent that the kids will see and they'll know. You'll disciple them just by your godly actions. So.
Yeah, and we tell women, you know, they'll say, well, I can't make disciples. I can't lead someone else to walk with God. And we'll say all the time, but you are. You're doing that with your kids. You do that every day by your example and by how you put God first. And by my son used to tell me that one of his memories from when he was young and he'd get up early in the morning to get ready for school. He says, Mom, every time I walked by the study door, I'd see you in there having your quiet time. And it just bowled me over because there's so many other ways we feel like we fail our kids and they didn't take what we told them to do. But in the little things, in the things they see about how we live our faith and how we love God, it does make a difference. It does make an impact on them.
Yeah. And the contrary, the flip side of that is when we don't live our faith properly, live it out, that means we're discipling them the wrong way. So we will disciple. The question is how do we choose to do that discipling, you know, through a godly perspective or the worldly perspective.
Have you had men that have been vulnerable to their children and said, I failed in this area?
Yeah, in fact, that's one of the examples I give them is my failure as a dad early on, and just being vulnerable, letting them know. And if you were to ask my son today, who's a young adult, and he remembers that incident so well. When I came up to him when he was about 8, and he recognized I had to apologize to him.
You have both been a major blessing, and I hope you'll consider coming back on the show. We'll try to get you back on in about 4 or 5 weeks. Dale Coffing and Karen Warren with Navigators, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.